Google just did their 2023 analysis. Who is the king of England was the number one Googled guy, the number one Google question. Bro, number two was who is Andrew Tate?
Andrew Tate and his brother have once again been detained in Romania.
Of course, Andrew Tate, one of the most Googled people on the planet and back in the spotlight once again.
I don't think the concern's about the things I say. I think the concern is for the level of influence I have and the reach I have.
Millions of young men following these guys, right? So what is it about a toxic leader that makes them so attractive? What's the psyche behind it? So, Jonathan, I want you to check out this guy I found named Andy Elliott.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Garrett, take your shirt off. Come on, Garrett. Take your shirt off, Garrett. Okay, now hold on. Now, Garrett's a killer. Am I right? Garrett, how old are you?
29.
Garrett, does this bother you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, doesn't bother you enough. Because if it did, you wouldn't have it. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
I mean it. Now, come on, put your shirt down. We don't need this. You don't need this. You got kids?
Yes, sir. Two sons.
Okay. This is the last time I want you to take your shirt off in front of a group of people and not be in the shape you want your children to be in.
What Andy did for me is he kept me accountable, and he told me that I wasn't being my best self. And there's people in this world that can look at that and they can say, wow, he shouldn't do that to him. This is crazy.
He's being mean.
Or you could use that as a resource, and you could tap into that limitless potential that you have inside of you, and you could become a fucking animal.
Yeah, so this one's entitled While He'll Never Quit.
You got another one.
Yeah. Right. And this guy's a car salesman.
Okay.
Like love it. Like car salesman.
Good but he's, car salesman.
Well, he's like the supreme car salesman. He calls himself an elite sales warrior.
He calls himself that.
Which I've been to Don Davis Auto. It doesn't look like a battlefield.
Elite sales warrior.
But hey,
if you're gonna give yourself a nickname, you might as well bring it.
So this right here is entitled Why I'll Never Quit.
This isn't a victim story. I'm glad my mom left. It was good for me. If you don't know what drives you, you're not gonna make it. What pisses you off? What stirs you up? I want to prove everybody wrong. Everybody doubted me. Everybody thought I wasn't going to make it. I want to prove them all wrong. We got a 9-figure business right now. I still work like I'm broke. I keep a chip on my shoulder every freaking day.
So his mom left him, and he's using the trauma of that. He's using the pain of that, the hurt of that, to basically promote his brand, promote his business, promote himself, promote this elite sales warrior that he calls himself, which, by the way, I didn't know you could give yourself a nickname. So today's Give Yourself a Nickname Day show.
What do you want to be?
Yeah. Who do you want to be? Which is crazy because, just forget about the Bible for a second. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
But like even secular science, psychology tells you that that type of mentality isn't healthy. Like trauma and pain and brokenness.
Yeah.
Like if we don't allow something, specifically what you and I believe to be the gospel, to transform that, you are ultimately going to transfer that pain onto someone else.
Yeah, he's not looking for healing.
No.
He's using it as motivation.
Yeah, a transfer.
And you see that transfer because what did he say in that clip? He didn't say, my mom hurt me. He says, everyone's against me.
That's right.
It's me versus the world. What she did to me, I'm now looking at you as though you did it to me. And that's what he's doing. He's using that to say, okay, I have to hate you to beat you. So I'm going to pretend like you're the one that gave me the pain that she gave me. I'm transferring that to you. That's my motivating factor, me versus the world.
Yeah, today you're my mom and I'm going to crush you.
Yes.
Which in itself is terrible.
Yeah, you're going to crush your mom. No healing. There's no growth. There's no maturity. And it's not even kept in its proper context. You know, the new people you meet, you put that on them instead of saying, no, clean slate, get to know each other. And if you make everyone your enemy, that's just a really hard way to live.
Oh, it's a hard way. So today's show is basically why are men attracted to this type of leadership? This type of
because he's got a lot of followers,
broken. Bro. He's
lot
blowing
of
up. Andy Elliott. Like I even hate saying his name because people are going to go Google him now.
Yeah, don't promote it.
Right. I'm just going to call him the elite sales warrior. I'm going to go by his nickname, elite cell, the ESW.
Yeah.
The ESW has millions of followers now, right? But it's crazy. There's other guys like him, David Goggins, Andrew Tate. I was shocked. So analysis, the number. So the King of England, who is the King of England, was the number one Googled guy, the number one Google question guy. Who is the King of England? You know, they had the coronation, right? It was a big deal. Yeah, like people were like, what about this? Queen died. Who's the King of England, right? Yeah. Bro, number two was who is Andrew Tate?
Come on.
That was number two. Google just reported
out of everything,
that.
Out of everything going on in the war in Ukraine and everything. Politics and everything else.
Who is the King of England?
King of England.
And who is this idiot named Andrew Tate?
Nothing about artificial intelligence. Nothing about what's going on in Russia.
Bro,
just
millions, Andrew Tate. Millions of young men following these guys, right? Mm. So what is it about a toxic leader?
Yeah.
That makes them so attractive. What's the psyche behind it?
And you don't even just see it in the world. You see it in the church, right? Yep. We've seen entire podcasts devoted to evaluating some of the toxic leadership that has taken place in church life. You know, that kind of leadership, you know, one, it's kind of this bullying mentality. I'm going to bully you to motivate you, right? It's that drill sergeant mentality. Mm. Let me yell at you, beat you down.
Tear you down.
To make you want to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? But one of the toxic things about his type of leadership is, one, the goal and the means. And so what was the goal? The goal is a very worldly goal. The goal was, in the first clip, to look good, to be muscular, to be in shape, right? A very worldly, vain goal, right? I'm going to be in the gym 4 hours a day. I'm going to become a bodybuilder so that I can intimidate, so that people think of me in a certain way. So the goal is very worldly. In the second clip, the goal is what? Hey, 9 figures isn't enough. I want 10-figure business, so money.
And I hate my mom.
And I hate my mom, right? So you got this godless, worldly goals. And so let's say you're following him. And I think that is part of what's attractive, right? Is deep down, if you're wanting vanity, if you're wanting money, he's speaking your language.
Dude, this is so right there.
Yeah.
Like, we could do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
We love these guys.
Yes.
Because they ultimately say what we're thinking.
Yes.
They ultimately say what we're feeling, which is not an indictment against them. It's an indictment against us.
Yeah, the better question is probably, why is he so popular?
Yes.
Not, you know, like, he's given us a pathway toward the things our hearts desire.
Come on.
So if you're chasing money, if you're chasing women, if you're chasing popularity, fame, he's saying, I'll tell you how to get there. And we're eating it up as a culture. And so the goals are worldly, but then the motivation, like you touched on, is just this godless, worldly motivation. The motivation is make everybody your enemy. The motivation is take your pain and transfer that onto other people, right? So our motivation is unhealthy. The goals are unhealthy. But to your point, it's what we're wanting to hear.
Bro, right in the beginning of John's gospel, okay, you got John the Baptist. He's got a couple of disciples. They're on one side of the lake.
Mm.
They look across, and they see Jesus.
Yeah.
And John the Baptist acknowledges that it's Jesus. Mm. So the two disciples say, hey, can we go talk to him? Mm. John's like, sure. So they come around the other side of the lake, and then right there, first chapter of John, they say, Rabbi.
Mm.
And Jesus turns, and he says, what do you want? And the Greek word there is, what do you desire? Bro, he doesn't ask them their name. He doesn't ask them where they're from. Mm. He says, hey, what do you desire? What's your heart desire? And I'm convinced Jesus asked that question to the first would-be disciples, and he's been asking that question ever since.
Ooh, what do you desire?
What do you want?
What's your heart chasing?
There's this book written by a Russian philosopher. It was written, like, I think in the 60s, 70s. It's called Roadside Picnic.
Mm.
Okay? And it's about, like, a post-apocalyptic town.
Yeah.
Right. And in the middle of this town, there's a place called The Room.
Mm.
And if you can make it to The Room, it's very dangerous, but if you can make it to The Room, it gives you your heart's desire. So the book is about a couple of men who follow this guide.
Mm.
The guide says, hey, I can get you to The Room.
Mm.
Right. On their way to The Room, they meet a very wealthy, rich, famous guy coming back from The Room. Later in the book, you learn that he had set out with his brother to go find The Room. But along the way, the brother died. Mm. So he told himself, man, if I can just make it to the room, I could get my brother back. If I could just make it to the room, I could get my brother back, my heart's desire. Well, the room doesn't give you what you say you want. Mm. It gives you what you really want. And he didn't want his brother back. He wanted to be rich, powerful, and famous, and that's exactly what the room gave him.
So the room betrayed his actual motive, his actual desire, even more than what he thought maybe was his deepest desire.
It saw his heart.
Saw his heart.
And so when he gets back home, he hangs himself because he's so guilty that what he really wanted was to be rich. He didn't want his brother back.
He had a shot to get his brother back.
And what he really wanted was fame. And that's... Bro, that's the gospel.
Yes,
the gospel doesn't give you what you proclaim you want.
Oh, yeah.
God knows the desires of your heart.
Yeah, the question is, where's your heart?
Where's your heart?
And what a great allegory for our life, because we are on that journey. We are on the journey where you get to live your life chasing the things you desire. And so many will be just like that man at the end of their life.
Yeah.
They'll look at what they accumulated. They'll look at what they have. Maybe they are ripped. Maybe they got money in the bank account, right? And they'll feel that guilt. They'll feel that shame. I had one shot to chase something. I had one life, one gift to just pursue something. And I pursued these worldly, fleeting things. I mean, Jesus picks up on this, right? He says, stop storing up treasures here on earth. They're going to rust. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be stolen, right? Moths are going to destroy them. Yeah. Store up treasures in heaven, things that will outlive and outlast you, right?
So that's the first kind of, bro, and that's such an indictment. Like, I don't want to miss that. I think that's the right word. There are so many men attracted to dudes that give themselves fake nicknames.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we want that. There's something in us.
Yeah.
They're saying and doing, like Andrew Tate is standing there with a cigar in one hand, and two smoke shows on his right hand, right? Like these beautiful women. And there's something in us that says, I want that, or I want to be that, right? So, like, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we're attracted to toxic leadership, poor leadership, is because secretly we want that.
We want it. And he's given us a pathway to it. And of course, another reason why men specifically are attracted to that is you saw it in that clip, the guy that took his shirt off, right? Like, this guy just publicly humiliated him. He's never met him before. First meeting, he brings him on stage, embarrasses him, humiliates him, shames him, makes him do the one thing that makes him uncomfortable. Ask him, are you uncomfortable? And when he says yes, he doubles down and says, drop the shirt, be even more uncomfortable,
right?
That's their first introduction. After the show, they interview the guy. He's thanking him for it.
He's saying,
why? That guy, I believe, I don't know that guy, but so many men are so hungry for some kind of leadership, so hungry to know who they are, so hungry for another man to speak into their lives that they'll take whatever they can get.
I'm telling you, if men don't know how to win, they won't play.
Mm.
So when somebody comes along with a quote-unquote winning strategy, whether it's the elite sales warrior, whether it's David Goggins, whether it's Andrew Tate, whether it's Jordan Peterson, right? I'm calling them all out.
Yeah.
When they come along with a strategy that says, hey, we know what a man is and we know how to help you win.
Yes.
Bro, millions of men will line up to follow almost blindly.
Yes.
Right, wrong, or indifferent, right? Because when men don't have a good plan, like God's plan, you know, they'll become self-initiated.
Yeah, they'll settle for the world's plan.
That's it. They'll become, I call it the Invictus man, right?
Mm.
My head is beaten and bloodied but unbowed.
Yes.
I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul, right?
Yeah, standing in the arena, beating your chest.
100%. Like the Teddy Roosevelt man in the arena.
Yeah,
right? Like everybody hangs their hat on that.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly unhealthy. But it's attractive because, I think deep down, we desire that. I think also it's attractive because it tends to be the loudest voice in the room.
Yeah.
Like, people pay attention to the loudest player in the room.
Yeah.
And so you got a guy like the elite sales warrior putting out YouTube videos every day, putting out promotions. He's yelling at people. He's throwing things. He's telling you that, you know, you're trash, right? Mark Driscoll was like this in his early days. You know, you could go listen to a Mark Driscoll sermon, and he could basically tell you you're worthless, and you would walk away thinking, man, I'm worthless.
Yeah, thanking him for it.
Right, thanking him for it, you know, and we know where that led him.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's where he's at today. I know he's gone through a lot of trauma and change. But early on, I mean, he got known as the cussing pastor. He got known as the guy that would that would beat you up, and you would willingly receive it.
There's something attractive to men about the jerk in the room who says, like you said, says what they're thinking. They're not afraid to be mean. They're not afraid to offend. And we're attracted to that. And on one side, I think it's because, you know, there's something in us that we want to speak truth. We want to be heard.
Yeah.
And so when we see someone that we think is doing that, we're attracted. But what we see in Scripture is that the godly man, the strong man of the Lord, he speaks truth, but he does it in love. He speaks truth, but he does it with compassion. And he does it in a way where he's just not a jerk to the people around him.
It's winsome.
Like, are you winning them to you? But we've said this many episodes, but in the absence of true godly leadership, something else will fill the void.
That's it.
Right?
Something worldly.
Something worldly.
You don't gravitate towards holiness.
Right.
You gravitate towards worldliness.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't drift towards holiness. You drift towards worldliness, right? And what's interesting about these guys, man, what's interesting about the Grant Cardones and the David Goggins and the Elite Sales Warriors and whoever else, bro, is they are 100% void the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, when I look at Galatians and I look at the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not shocked by what's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked by what doesn't make the list.
Mm-hmm.
Elite is not a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes. Number
Popular
one.
Popular is not a fruit of the Spirit. Successful, intelligent, wealthy, none of those are fruit of the Spirit. Yet when you look at the most followed guys today, you're hearing words like elite, popular, handsome, successful, wealthy, and those are the things we run after.
Yeah, we chase after the worldly qualities, worldly attributes, instead of these godly attributes. I mean, you know, there's all these different types of leadership, and there's a lot of people that they spend their whole life studying different forms of leadership, and we see it in the church, and I think there's a value to talk. You know, there's visionary leadership, there's intuitive leadership, there's purpose-led leadership, some are collaborated leaders, some are servant leaders, which is one of my favorites, right?
Yeah.
But most kind of mix. We're talking about toxic leadership, and in toxic leadership, three things you'll never see is teachability, accountability, and humility.
Come on.
And exactly what you're saying, the things that should be fruits of the Spirit, the things that we want to see. I mean, tell me the guy we just watched, right? Could you tell him anything? Is he teachable? Would he listen to anything?
The three markers of a toxic leader. Say that again.
No teachability, no accountability, and no humility.
You lack teachability. There's no accountability.
And you lack humility.
And you lack humility.
Come on.
That is fire.
And then you look at the strongest man who's ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, and he was so humble. He was meek, right? And he gives us this model of washing his disciples' feet, the very people who are going to betray him and deny him.
He's humble.
He washes their feet.
He's humble. And he's accountable
to God. Servant leaders. Yes.
He says, I'm here to do the will of my Father,
not my own will.
And he's teachable. The Bible says, Luke 2:52, that he grew in wisdom and favor and stature. He was always learning.
Yes. He was the perfect servant leader.
I love that.
And when you don't know him, you end up chasing something else. Right. And he's not the screaming voice on the corner. Like you said, a lot of times we give all of our attention to the loudest voice, whoever's screaming, who's ever bullying us and putting us down. We just listen to that. But what about that still quiet voice of Jesus Christ, you know, sitting there talking to Nicodemus in the evening, sitting there talking to the woman by the well, sitting there restoring Peter so lovingly after his resurrection. Right. Like, this is the leader that we are so desperate for. And what concerns me is if you have a generation of men influenced by toxic leadership, then you will have a generation of fathers passing that down to their kids.
That's right.
And it becomes this generational thing, a cycle, ripple effect, going from bad leaders to bad leaders.
Because the fish stinks from the head down.
Oof.
From the head down, bro.
Yeah.
And as we run after this toxicity, man, it becomes who we are after a while,
yes.
Right? We become unteachable.
Yeah.
We don't have accountability.
Yes.
And then we ultimately lack humility, right?
Yes.
And think about these guys that we just mentioned. Another sign. So if there are young men watching this right now and saying, how do I know if I'm following a toxic leader or a good leader? Because sometimes that can be confusing.
Sure.
How do I know he's a good leader?
Sure.
Well, that's the metric.
Right.
Is that leader teachable?
Yes.
Is that leader accountable to someone?
Yes.
Does that leader exercise humility? And if so, by all means, follow them.
Yes.
But if they're not, man, red flags need to be going up.
Red flags.
And I'm telling you right now, another marker we see is the person we follow always demanding something from us, or are they giving something back to us?
Oh, that's good.
Right?
That's
because
good.
These guys, the Grant Cardones, the Grant Cardones has nothing to offer you other than buy my program.
Well, and
subscribe to my show. They always want something from you.
Something
they're
from
takers.
Me. Well, that's the thing is they're telling you, I'm going to show you how to be rich. Meanwhile, you're making them rich.
100%.
Right? Like, give me some money. I'll tell you how to make money. And then you give it to them. They're like, I'll just do what I just did, right? Because I'm making lots of money, right? So they say, I'm going to give you a path to this, but really you're their path to what they're trying to become.
Come on.
They're using you. Every book.
Don't be a pawn. That's so good.
Every book that's ever been written on toxic leadership, one thing they always highlight, one thing that's always there in toxic leadership across the board is manipulation. Manipulation. They always are using people, manipulating people.
Dude.
And they're, and like you said, it's so hard to tell sometimes because they'll say they love you. They'll act like they care about you. They'll talk a good game. But
they want what's best for you.
Yes, but
as they're
master
sitting on
manipulators.
Their private jet, they want what's best for you, right?
Like this guy in that video was humiliated and embarrassed and left thanking the guy. Thank you for doing that. That's what I've been needing,
it's
right?
Unreal.
And then the second the camera's off, he don't care about that guy.
He didn't even know his name.
That's the guy that got him views on that video
That's it.
Make sure he can't keep flying the world doing what he does.
Dude, and something Tristan Harris said years ago that has stuck with me. So Tristan was the chief ethicist officer at Google.
Hmm.
Okay, so he's lived in this world of technology and social media, which he doesn't use, by the way.
Yeah.
And he said,
that's interesting.
He said this. He said, hey, anytime someone's not trying to sell you something, so like if the elite sales warrior is not trying to sell you something, it's because you are the product. You are the product.
Come on.
Right? So the elite sales warrior may not be saying, hey, I need you to buy my program. But you're the product because the more views he gets, the more money he makes, the more speaking engagements he gets, the more he gets to go around and spew this nonsense, right? And then everybody gets to create their own fake nickname and pretend to be something, right?
Yeah, I don't need your money, but stand there while I cut you down, yell at you, embarrass you, and then thank me for it because that's what I need.
You're
the product.
And oh, by the way, what I really am is a middle-aged man that lost his hair too early and haven't been able to get over the wounds that my mother inflicted on me when I was 2 and 3 years old.
It's the big man syndrome, right?
Bro.
Like, I need to be the big man to feel something good about myself, and you're my way to do that. If someone tells you, I will give you a pathway to these worldly goals of being handsome, being rich, being successful, being number one, being elite, just know the truth is you're their pathway getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
They will not give you a pathway to get there. They will use you to make sure they get to where they're trying to go.
So a toxic leader, an unhealthy leader, he's going to lack teachability.
Yeah.
He's always going to have the answers.
Yeah.
He's always going to be winning. I tell young men that all the time. Be wary of the guy that's always winning.
Yeah.
Because it's not real.
Never lost, never made a mistake,
dude.
Never had a bad day. That's all in the past.
Yeah. Who is that guy, LaMelo Ball's dad? Never lost. He said, I've never lost.
Never lost.
Bro, yes, you have. So he's not teachable.
Can't tell him anything.
There's no accountability, right? He's just a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Lacks humility, and he's always using – people are just a means to an end.
Yeah, manipulating. And, you know, most of these guys, this wouldn't even offend them. Like, if we said to this guy, you lack humility, he would probably say, that's right.
Humility's weak.
I don't need humility.
Yeah, that's right.
I got pride. I am number one.
That's right.
Like, these godly characteristics, if we said, man, we don't see that in you, they would like boast in that.
Yeah.
They would take pride in that.
And then like challenge us to fight them.
Yes, exactly.
Like, well, I want
to
fight you.
Yeah, I don't need to fight you, man. I got a wife who loves me. I got kids who love me. I've enjoyed my life. I know Jesus Christ.
You know who loves
I'm doing
it when,
fine.
You know who loves it when I take my shirt off? My wife. And that's all that matters. Like, what are
we should have done
about?
This whole episode with our shirts off.
Millions of views.
Millions. Everybody would be turning it off so quickly. How do I close this window?
Right, that's right.
These guys have lost their minds.
So we can identify the unhealthy, the toxic leader. What then for our viewers, listeners, man, what are we looking for? What should we be looking for in following somebody? And the first thing, I just want to throw this out. The first thing is we're looking for faithfulness over fame.
Yeah, that's good.
It doesn't have to be the most famous guy.
Oh, yeah.
Man, give me the most faithful guy.
Yes, even in church life, you know, we get so personality-driven. We want the guy at the mega church who's written the books, right? And I'm not saying, you know, the guy's not using that. But what about just that ordinary pastor who's pastored a church of 50 for 30 years, who's faithful, who shows up every single week? Yeah,
that's
just...
It.
That
he's a hero,
faithfulness.
Bro. You know who's an elite sales warrior? Him.
Him. Right. And here's the thing. No one's going to know him.
That's right.
And he's fine with it. He's not chasing fame. Yeah. All he's wanting to do is please God. And that's what Paul says. And that's another mark, I think, of a godly servant leader is someone whose audience is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Paul says in Galatians 1, I'm not trying to please man. In fact, he says, if I were trying to please man, I wouldn't be living the life I'm living.
That's right.
Right? Like, I can't live this way and please man. I would have to change I would have to do what these guys are doing on YouTube, right? And chase those things. And so if you got someone who's faithful, not chasing fame, and you got someone who their audience is Lord, like they're not trying to even please you. That doesn't mean they don't love you, they don't serve you, but you're not their number one audience, right? Because a people pleaser can be just as toxic. Right?
That's
the guy
it.
That will compromise.
Tell you what you want to hear.
Tell you what you want to hear. Compromise his beliefs to make you happy, even
that's
when
it.
He knows it's wrong. That's not a godly, good leader either.
That's it.
Right? You need someone who is strong in their convictions, firm in their convictions. I'm going to please God because one day I'll stand in front of him.
That's
and
right.
What I long to hear is not you got a million views on YouTube. I long to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Faithful.
Faithful.
So we're looking for faithful.
Yes.
Faithful over famous. And then I also think we're looking for what you said, man, is humility.
Yeah.
Like we're looking for someone that's a servant.
Yes.
You know, there's so many Christian leaders I hear talking about being a servant.
Mm.
And I often say, you know, everybody's okay with being a servant until you get treated like one. And then it's wheels off, right? So you're looking for that guy that's okay being treated like a servant.
Yes.
Right? Because he's got something he wants to give to you, right?
Yes.
He wants to put on the towel and he wants to wash your feet. Like he wants to better you by honestly bettering you, not through bettering himself.
Yeah, it's not right. I'm going to serve you so that others will think highly of me.
That's right.
I'm just going to serve you to serve you.
Because I want you to know Jesus.
I want your feet clean, so I'm going to wash your feet.
That's it.
It ends there, right?
And I think the third thing, so it's faithful, it's servant-oriented, humility. I think the third thing is, at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, the men I follow, do they help me look more like Jesus or less?
Yes.
Because there's no neutrality here. People are either pushing you towards the image and likeness of Jesus, or they're pulling you away from it.
Come on.
And to say it even more simple, are they calling me to live for others or live for myself? Because everything the elite sales warrior says, everything Grant Cardone says, everything David Goggins says, everything Andrew Tate says, it's all about me.
Yeah, do what's best for you, what you want, make you happy. And so what you just did there with that third one saying, are they pushing us to Christ? What you're doing is you're addressing the goal of the leadership, right?
That's it.
So these videos, the goal was very worldly. We already said that, right? The goal is nine figures. The goal is to be ripped, to be strong. Right? Vanity, worldly goals. And so in a godly servant leader, the goal is I want you to look like Christ.
That's right.
I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're famous. I don't care if
you're handsome.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
What I want is for you to be following. And that's what Paul said. Paul never looked at the church and said, hey, imitate me and make a lot of money. That's he right. didn't say, imitate me and let's run this world. Imitate me and let's be the man. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's just it. So we can all look like Jesus.
Dude.
We just want to conform to his image.
There's that story of Michelangelo, right? One of the greatest painters, sculptors in history, right? So Michelangelo is carving the statue of David, one of the most famous sculptors, one of the most famous statues in the world.
Yeah.
And they ask him, they said, Mike, how did you do that without, because he didn't sketch it. He didn't trace it out of the marble. He just made it.
That's amazing.
And when they ask him later, how did you do that? How did you make David? His answer was simple. I just chipped away everything that wasn't Christ.
Come on.
And then that's what
he did. Wild. Just
man, we want leaders.
Yeah.
They're going to help us chip away everything that's not Jesus.
No, that's good. Yeah.
Find the leader that'll do that, and you have found a good leader to follow.
I love it.
Come on, bro.
And we need good leaders to follow.
not the elite sales warrior.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I'm a ninja now. I'm giving myself, I'm the elite ninja. I'm the elite ninja preacher. That's my new name.
Well, here's the thing. The question is, what's getting more views, those videos of those guys or your scriptures, right? When the Bible gets more views from you than that, then you're following the right leader.
Come on. Let's follow the
elite
right
ninja.
Leader. Thank you. Elite ninja preacher.
I got to be a super, super, super trooper.
Super, super, super
I want
trooper.
Three supers
this
in my day.
Sounds like a Mario character.
Hey, I like that.
That's amazing. I'll see you next week.
All right, see you, Art.